Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Alden Hines of Orient Lodge. That's orient-lodge.com. And you're listening to Fiona? It's sounding like you're muting. I'm not hearing you on the phone. Fiona? Here, I'm going to try this. Try again.
Hello.
There we go. Okay. And you're listening to another episode of
Fiona's radio show.
Okay. Sorry about that little glitch. I'm not sure what went on. I toggled some settings in Blog Talk Radio, and things came back. So, Fiona, should we say another episode of Fiona's radio show, or should we note that this is the special pre-Blizzard edition?
Well, it is, but we have those a lot. There are kind of a lot of blizzards in Connecticut.
Well, when's the last blizzard we had?
Oh, it was a couple of years ago, but still, they're normally pretty bad at stuff.
Right. Well, actually, didn't we have a blizzard last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, this is the first one of this year. And we have invited Mark Rosenthal of Weather Blast. Mark is a meteorologist up in Boston who's called into the show in the past to call in this evening if he's not otherwise preoccupied with the coming storm. But before we get to that, we should continue on with the introduction. Just about every week at 6:30, every Sunday evening at 6:30 Eastern United States time, Fiona and I discuss the events of the week. It provides some quality father-daughter time and has built up a very large library of recordings of the two of us talking together. The show's been going since Fiona was 6 and she's now 13, so we will leave that as a math exercise for the readers. And we encourage all parents to spend more time talking with their kids, perhaps recording some of the discussions for posterity, or doing as we do, sharing them on Blog Talk Radio. So are you excited about the storm, Fiona?
As long as it means no school.
As long as you... So here's an opening question for you, and maybe we'll see what Mark thinks when he calls in. Do you think there'll be school tomorrow?
There won't probably be school, but it'll probably be a half day.
You think they'll have a half day?
Yeah.
You know, as I'm reading more and more of the forecasts, and they don't want to get your hopes up, but I wouldn't be surprised if some places end up actually canceling school tomorrow. Not likely to start before school starts, but who knows when it's going to start, and they may end up being cautious. But yeah, I think you are right. Probably no school on Tuesday. So, any other thoughts about the coming storm?
I just know I'm going to use it as good binge-watching days.
Good binge-watching days. Actually, you know what? Can you do me a favor? And I should explain to our guests that the way we do things is typically I am in the family room downstairs and Fiona is upstairs and we're both calling in to the same phone number. And the reason we do that is so that we don't have crosstalk. But Fiona, can you grab my phone and bring it down to me?
Yeah. Which one?
The work one.
It keeps going off. You have like three new texts.
That's why I want to get it. One of the things that I have set up here is that my computer lets me know when there's new messages on my cell phone. Unfortunately, I can't see what those messages are. And I'm thinking that the messages might end up being from the guests that we're expecting. Actually, they are from a friend who is saying that he is listening in. And hopefully, we will be having Mark call in fairly soon. Let's see. So where were we, Fiona, about the storm?
Oh. About how there should be no school.
How there should be no school. Well, it looks like we have Mark dialing in. So, Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I am here. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing well.
Hey.
We're having our weekly radio show, and
nice.
I'm glad you could call in again.
Well,
so
I'm happy to be
here. You want to give us a quick update of what you're hearing, and then maybe Fiona or
well,
I will
sure.
have
Well, sure, I can tell you what we're
questions.
Forecasting. Well, first of all, the National Weather Service has a blizzard warning out, basically from Portland, Maine, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, down to the Worcester, Boston, all of Cape Cod, all of Rhode Island, all of Connecticut. It really goes into effect from tomorrow night to about 1 o'clock Wednesday morning. And to have a true blizzard, you need visibilities under a quarter of a mile for at least 3 hours in a row. You need air temperatures fairly cold, mostly in the 20s, and you need a sustained northeast wind over 35 miles an hour. I think we're going to meet all that criteria. So snowfall rates are going to be enormous. I think at times it's going to be snowing at the rate of 2, 3, 4 inches an hour with whiteout conditions. The very worst of the storm, by the way, folks, is going to be tomorrow night, probably until about 8 o'clock Tuesday night, and it's just going to go nuts here. So gear up for that.
So with that, one of the things I always hear and I hear people confused about is you said we have a blizzard warning. And sometimes you hear people talk about watches. Sometimes you hear people talk about warnings.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it a watch or a warning?
Well, when you put out a watch, it means the conditions are favorable within the next 24 hours for the severity of what you're forecasting to develop. When you put out a warning, it means those conditions are going to be realized within the next 12 hours. That basically it's a done deal. It's on its way. So, for example, if you hear about a blizzard warning, or, for example, if you heard about a severe thunderstorm watch, that would mean the conditions in the atmosphere are favorable for the formation of severe thunderstorms. When they convert that to a warning, it means there are severe thunderstorms in the warning area, and you should take shelter.
Okay. So, Fiona, you have any questions for Mark about the storm or about forecasting?
Well, what are the conditions that they normally close schools under?
Well, this is really going to close schools, I think, for many days. I would be amazed if you had school Tuesday or Wednesday. I know they're going to shut them down on Tuesday, and I think still there will be some light snow in the early Wednesday morning. So I think Tuesday and Wednesday will be done deals. I think the superintendents of all the school districts, they look around to see how the streets are doing and to see if the plows or if the sidewalks are plowed, rather, and if it's still snowing and how much snow is on the ground. Once again, that criteria is going to be met and then some. So if you are happy to miss school Tuesday and Wednesday, I could almost write you a blank check and say it's almost a done deal. How about that?
Yeah.
You like that, huh?
We were talking before you called in about do you think any schools will be canceling tomorrow or having
well,
an early closure?
Well, it's possible because, something, I think snow's going to be breaking out. As a matter of fact, if you just give me 1 second here, I'm going to call up on my computer, which I have right in front of me, the very latest radar. And I want to just see how far north the snow has progressed. Last time I checked, it was almost into southern Pennsylvania. And this is going to be loading for a second. But my sense is it's going to be snowing here by the morning afternoon. Okay, radar shows snow coming right now. Snowing throughout much of Ohio and Indiana and the western Pennsylvania. So I certainly think by about 2 or 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, it's going to be snowing lightly. And I think the afternoon ride tomorrow afternoon, say between 3 and 4 o'clock, the roads are going to be rather slick.
So if there is school, some schools will be open tomorrow, but some might close early. And
well, some might close early if they find, yes, if they see the roads are getting slick, if the snow, you know, tends to develop a little bit sooner versus later. I don't really think it's going to be that big a deal tomorrow, but look, all it takes is a little bit of snow on the ground and the roads can get very slick. The other thing that we're watching, which is interesting to me, there was an Arctic cold front that came through or that's moving through right now, and I'm just looking at temperatures as of 6 o'clock. It's 31 in Boston, and Worcester's down to 24, of course, in the Connecticut area. It's 27 in Hartford, and New Haven's 35, so it's still fairly mild, but the Arctic air is well entrenched now. It's coming into Burlington, Vermont, where it's 10. It's 14 in Bangor, Maine. It's 9 below on the top of Mount Washington. The wind from the northwest at 71 miles an hour. The wind chill on top of Mount Washington is now 49 degrees below zero. And that cold air is going to be spilling south. So that's going to be very important because when the snow really starts to fall, there's going to be a tremendous ratio. You can have a lot of light, fluffy snow and really pile it up in a short amount of time with air temperatures in low and mid-20s versus when you get a snowstorm and it's 32, 33, 34, and the snow is like heavy, wet cement. This is going to be, for the most part, a puttery snow for us.
So, Fiona, you got some other questions for Mark?
I do, actually.
Okay, fire away. Here I am. I'm all yours, Fiona.
Okay. So, what are some of the most important aspects to create a blizzard?
Well, there's a lot of things that go on. You need a lot of dynamics going on in the atmosphere. First of all, you need a storm and the surface right here on Earth where we live. But we really look in terms of, you know, the meteorological aspects of this about what's going on in the upper levels of the atmosphere. So say at about 18,000 feet up, we're looking for where the disturbances are. And they if you're looking at a disturbance that's intensifying as it's coming towards you, a lot of times you can get a surface storm to develop, and that's what's going to be happening. You also need cold high pressure to the north of you to supply the cold air. The other ingredients this year that I find really interesting is the fact that the Atlantic Ocean to our east and south is abnormally warm. So when you take a chunk of cold Arctic air in the upper levels of the atmosphere and you put that over the warm Atlantic water, the contrast in temperature in the vertical is so tremendous, and there's so much heat energy available for all the dynamics to come together to supply a lot of moisture for the storm. And, you know, those are the ingredients that we do look for a major nor'easter, and that's what's on the way.
That's really interesting. One of the things, you know, you talked about your computer a little bit, and, mm-hmm. you know, I often hear people talking about the computer models, and
right.
especially computer models when there's a hurricane. So mm-hmm. how many different computer models are you looking at, and how do these models compare with the hurricane models?
Sure. We have so many models. You know, when I started doing I started at the TV station when I was really young in 10th grade in 1972. And things back then were fairly archaic in terms of the sophistication of the models that we had today. We probably had about two or three computer models. And today we probably have over 30 computer models. Now, the computer models that we use to forecast winter storms are not the same computer models that we use to forecast hurricanes, because a winter storm actually starts in the upper levels of the atmosphere and works its way down to the surface. But a hurricane on the inception is really born over warm tropical waters. So it's born over warm tropical waters and develops that way and works its way into the upper levels of the atmosphere from the bottom up, totally the inverse of cold winter storms. So hurricane models, the physics and the dynamics are totally different because they're looking at a warm core storm, meaning it develops the surface, warm core, because you need the heat energy from the ocean. The ocean temperatures have to be at least 80 degrees for the formation of tropical weather. And when you look at winter storms, where they form in the upper levels of the atmosphere, temperatures could be as cold as 80 below zero. So the models are totally different.
Interesting. And actually, so we are learning about this type of thing in science class right now, mostly mm-hmm. about how weather is totally based on water and winds. Is that true?
Right.
Can you really get into
well,
what
those are so the right. I mean, it's water and wind that we have here on Earth, and of course, the main driver of all of that is the sun. If we didn't have the sun, we wouldn't have the weather, because the sun heats the Earth unevenly, creating lots of contrast in air temperature. And, of course, the Earth is made up of three-quarters of oceans, and that is a major player as well. That supplies a lot of the water vapor into the atmosphere.
So let me ask a question there, since you're talking about how the sun affects weather. A friend of mine worked for, I think he worked for NASA, and his specialty was weather systems on the outer planets. If you looked at all in, you know, weather systems on other planets, has that been something you've been interested in?
Well, I haven't delved too much into that. I know, of course, you've got the solar winds and everything that create the aurora borealis, the beautiful colored light sometimes that we see in winter, you know, in the northern sky, and that's always fun to look at. But, you know, something, we don't know a lot about a lot of other planets in terms of if there's life there or not. But to really have weather like we have on Earth, you need to have water. And how many planets in the solar system have water?
That's true.
So maybe there's more that we need to find out, but as of right now, not a lot. I mean, the atmosphere in Mars and Venus and Jupiter, totally different than what we have here on Earth.
So what we've been looking on a lot about weather and how storms are based and how they turn and where the different ones are storms more likely to form at different longitude and latitude areas, like at the place of the trade winds? Are they more likely to develop storms versus at the horse winds?
Well, you mean the horse latitudes, where
right,
the horse latitudes where there's very little wind. But when you're by the equator, you have very little wind. There's very little movement. But you do have an intertropical convergence zone between the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. So you have the northeasterly winds of the northern hemisphere meeting the southeasterly winds of the southern hemisphere, and that's where the line of the intertropical convergence zone sets up. And, of course, that line shifts in January and July. So in July, it shifts further north. And along that inception, or about 10 degrees north of that line, a lot of times you get thunderstorms that are propagating around. And if other elements in the atmosphere are right, you can get a cluster of thunderstorms developing, forming into a tropical depression, then a tropical storm, and then a hurricane.
So, Fiona?
Versus the mid-latitude storms of the winter. Now, the mid-latitude storms of the wintertime along the polar front, where the cold air from Canada is meeting the milder air from the south, probably about 35 degrees north latitude, and along that, of course, and that oscillates back and forth, but along that zone of temperature contrast, in the greater the temperature contrast is where you find the most intense storms. So that's one of the elements that's driving this blizzard. There's a tremendous contrast in air masses from the ground up. And so the atmosphere is trying to balance itself out, so it creates a war within itself of air masses, and it's fought out in terms of a storm with clouds of precipitation and lots of wind. As once again, the atmosphere is always looking to balance itself out with equilibrium. But it's always a process.
So let me hop in and add one thing that, and it's probably been 30 years or so since I did this, but around 30 years ago, I sailed a sailboat from Puerto Rico to North Carolina. And every day, it was like clockwork. At 4 in the afternoon and 4 in the evening, or 4 in the morning, we had a thunderstorm. So that
now,
Well,
I'm assuming that was happening when you were in the tropics.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So tropical
weather is pretty predictable. Right. You know, tropical weather, for the most part, is pretty predictable. It's smaller scale storms. You get your afternoon thunderstorms. You get a lot of heating, of course. You get the tropical air. There's a lot of juice, a lot of energy in that tropical air mass where it's very humid. And if you lift that air after the heating of the sun, you can get some big showers and thunderstorms. And then as the sun goes down, which is the driver of that, you tend to lose the thunderstorms at night, although they can still pop at night. But for the most part, you get severe weather late in the afternoon and the evening. But the sun is really is the radiator of that. When you lose the sun, you lose all the action. For the most part, there are exceptions to that rule.
So I've just gotten a question from one of our listeners, and he's asking, how do you think the storm that we're expecting tomorrow compares with the great blizzard of 78?
That's a great question. A lot of ways it's similar. A couple of ways they're not. First of all, in the blizzard of 78, I remember I was at Channel 5. That was my first time on TV. A week after that, I was 23 years old. It was a lot of fun. But back to the question. The question is, or the answer to the question, I should say, is the similarities are it's going to be a very powerful storm. The dynamics in the upper levels of the atmosphere look similar to me. The high-pressure area that built out of Western Hudson's Bay is not quite as strong. That high-pressure center was about 1053 millibars. This time the high is going to be in eastern Canada. It's about 1035 millibars. I think the pressure in the storm was a little bit lower than what we're going to have right now, but not to underestimate. I still think winds could gust to hurricane force along the coast, and there could be numerous power outages and perhaps some coastal flooding. But I think the element that's missing from this upcoming storm that created the devastating coastal flooding and the hurricane, in the blizzard of 1978 was the fact that we had a new moon. So the tides were astronomically high, and we had winds gusting along the coast over 80 miles an hour. So for a couple of days, the winds were really blowing very strong, near hurricane force, and it created a tremendous fetch in from the ocean. The waves were going crazy, over 100 feet. And because of the new moon, of course, if you have a new moon or a full moon, the tides are astronomically high. So when you add a big storm onto that, that's a major ingredient. You can have major league problems with that. That's one of the important elements that are down. The tides are not astronomically high.
So, Fiona, you have some other questions for Mark?
Yes. Let's see. A lot of people think that the storm's entirely really, well, like a blizzard, is based around how much snow comes. But is there something that it's really based around?
I'm sorry. Say that again. Is there something that's based around what?
Well, a lot of people think that blizzards are really based around the snow that you get. But I feel like it's more based on the pressure.
Well, but what constitutes the blizzard is what we said early on. You need poor visibility for a long time, for many hours. You need very strong winds for many hours. And you need low temperatures for several hours. That creates, that constitutes a blizzard. So you can have an ordinary snowstorm where you could have like a few inches of snow, but the wind's not a big factor. And, the visibilities aren't that low. And so if you want to talk about, the true meaning of a blizzard, again, you need poor visibility, very strong winds, and low temperatures for an extended period of time.
So if we had just a heavy snowfall, a lot of snow, but no wind, that wouldn't be considered a blizzard.
Right, because technically speaking, that's accurate. You need the wind. There's three components. You need the wind.
Right.
Because that blows. So when you have near whiteout conditions with wind, it's a wild scene. I'm sure you've seen that before.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So how strong does the wind have to be to constitute a blizzard?
Well, you need winds of at least 35 miles per hour for at least 3 or 4 hours and with higher gusts. So, as I say, we will get that. I was just reading the Weather Service's warning, and they're thinking that winds along the coast could gust to hurricane force. So the other problem, I think, is going to be down towards the Cape, where I think it might be somewhat of a warmer storm. So even for a while, if you have temperatures close to 30 or 32, and you have a heavy, wet, pasty-type cement-like snow with winds of hurricane force, the weight of the heavy, wet snow on branches and power lines driven by the wind potentially is not a good situation. So there could be a lot of downed trees. There could be a lot of folks that are going to lose power.
And with that, you have any thoughts of, so we're saying this is Tuesday and Wednesday, right?
Well, no, I'm saying this really starts tomorrow afternoon. We'll get some light snow in here. Certainly in your neck of the woods, you'll probably start snowing there, early to mid-afternoon. It'll be light, but as you get into the afternoon drive, the roads will be covered. I think the worst for you will be tomorrow night. All night, and I think certainly most of the day on Tuesday, it might tend to abate there somewhat by Tuesday night, and then eastern New England continues to get slammed. But you'll still have light snow for a good portion of Tuesday night with strong winds.
Okay. So then by Thursday and Friday, we should have nice weather?
We'll be out playing golf. No, it'll be, actually, you know, I don't, well, I don't know how, I think Wednesday will clear or partially clear in the afternoon, and then Thursday will be fine, and there could be another storm threat here. I don't even want to get into it, because every time we talk about it, it never materializes, but there might be some more snow here on Friday. I want to get through, this storm first before I start looking into the next one.
Okay. So you have other thoughts or questions, Fiona?
Yes, I do. What do you think is the likelihood that people will lose power?
I think it depends where you are. I think certainly along the coast and exposed areas. I think the Cape's the most vulnerable. I think coastal South Shore like Marshfield and Plymouth and Hull are very vulnerable. I think coastal North Shore like Gloucester, Rockport, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, very vulnerable. And as you travel, like away from the coast, it's still a strong possibility.
But you
certainly along the coastal
that,
communities.
Yeah. But you were saying that since we don't have a full moon or a new moon, we don't have as much of a concern of flooding, right?
Well, no, but I still think there'll be some coastal flooding. But as we said, I don't think you're going to see the devastating coastal flooding that we had with the blizzard of 78. As a matter of fact, I can recall a very quick story for you. We had many weather watchers when I was at Channel 5 that would call in from many towns in Massachusetts. And there was this fellow, his name was Jimmy Kelly, and he called me from Hull, and he said, "Hi, Mark, it's Jim Kelly." He goes, "This is going to be my last report for a while. The wind's gusting to 80 miles an hour, and the ocean just burst through my living room window. We have to leave."
Wow.
So it was an amazing storm. It was an amazing storm. The other storm that comes to my mind that's also amazing was the no-name storm, the Halloween storm of 1991, when you had a big cold upper-level storm that went out over the Atlantic and captured a dying hurricane, and the two came together. And then what happened in the atmosphere, you know how weather normally moves from west to east? Well,
yeah.
This storm backed in and moved from east to west. We call that retrogression in meteorology, where that means things are backing up and not moving normally. So this moved from east to west, and it moved in, and I remember we got a call from somebody off of Chatham reporting 100-foot seas and winds gusting over hurricane force. So boy, that was a devastating storm.
Now, was that the storm that they made the movie about, The Perfect Storm?
Yes, The Perfect Storm, exactly. That's
okay.
It. The Perfect Storm was two weather systems coming together to create a unique situation.
Right. Great. Well, thank you so much for calling in. It's going to be...
It's my pleasure.
Hopefully people will be safe, but hopefully it'll be fun to watch a little bit of the beauty of Mother Nature. Fiona,
sure.
You have any other thoughts or questions for Mark before we wrap up the show?
Oh, I just want to say again, thanks for calling in.
You're more than welcome. You know, Cillian, let me just add this for those of you folks that want more information. I have a website. I'm just about to update it again within the next half hour. So within the next half hour, you can tune in. It's just weatherblast.com, and we'll be talking about the storm and showing some maps and what's going to happen. So weatherblast.com will keep you updated throughout the storm. How about that?
That is great. I've been mentioning weatherblast.com as I've been talking about this show on social media. I've been checking it out regularly.
That.
I look forward to seeing what you post over, the next couple
of
days.
Well, normally I'm not on camera because I don't want to scare the kids, but I might come on tonight and show my face and talk about the storm. How about that within the next half hour? So check it out.
Okay, great. Fiona,
all right. Well, guys, thanks so much for having me on your show. Fiona, thank you. I think you did an excellent job. Very informative, I hope, for everybody, and a lot of good questions from both of you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. We'll talk soon. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye. Good night.
Okay, Fiona, so that was a pretty exciting show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's about time to wrap this up. So you have any other final comments?
Thanks. Good night. Hopefully that's in next week on Fiona's Radio Show.
Thanks and good night, and be safe, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Night.